On August 17, 1863, America was engulfed in civil war. The battles of Gettysburg and Vicksburg had been fought just 6 weeks earlier. But Mr. Belot, the manager of the International Hotel, the finest in the city of St. Paul, Minnesota, didn't care about the blue and the gray. That night, he was more concerned about the brown mud, that is, being tracked into his establishment by the hollow-cheeked, rough-whiskered frontiersman claiming to be a Graf von Zeppelin. He certainly didn't look like one of the fancy European aristocrats Mr. Belot had read about. Yet he sounded courtly, even if he spoke English haltingly with a strong German accent. Upon closer inspection, his clothes, too, were tailored, though torn and ragged and not altogether suited to the backwoods. He was evidently a man who purchased rather than shot what he wore. Still, at the International Hotel, they didn't let rooms to riffraff or charlatans. The man, sensing the manager's reluctance, explained that he had spent the last 3 weeks roaming the wilderness. Fueled by the romantic fantasies of deer slayers exploring primeval American forests he had picked up from reading too many James Fenimore Cooper novels, he had elected to travel along an abandoned fur trade trail. It was a wonder he hadn't died. Having quickly run out of food and ammunition and beset by mosquitoes and heat, he had been saved by some Chippewa Indians who showed him how to hunt ducks, build a shelter, and gather eggs. It had been quite an adventure, but he was ready for a comfortable bed, a bath, and a hearty dinner, and had the money at hand. Once he saw the dollars, Mr. Belot relented. He'd be only too pleased to offer such a distinguished gentleman his best accommodations. Due to return east on the next day's train, the man paid for a single night's stay. The following morning, August 18th, woken by a commotion outside, Zeppelin drew the curtains and surveyed the open lot across the street. And there he spied a large silken balloon, gaily painted and patchworked, and fitted with a small wicker basket. He'd heard of these legendary, magical things, of course. Everyone knew of them, but never had he encountered one. Right there and then, Zeppelin decided to postpone his trip back home. Zeppelin was indeed a fancy European aristocrat and not a charlatan, but how he ended up in St. Paul, Minnesota is something of a roundabout story. He could trace his ancestry back to a minor 13th century baron named Heinrichus de Zeppelin from Mecklenburg in northern Germany, whose kinsmen served as mercenaries in the Swedish, Danish, and Prussian armies that occupied their time ravaging and ravishing their way across Europe. For the next 500 years, successive Zeppelins did little other than demonstrate a prodigious talent for drunkenly gambling away the family's estates, ultimately obliging an impecunious, teenaged Ferdinand Ludwig to roam far south and enter the military service of Duke Frederick of Württemberg in the late 18th century. When all-conquering Napoleon upgraded the Duchy of Württemberg into a kingdom in 1806, Ferdinand was promoted to count and changed his name to Zeppelin. The Württembergers preferred a double P. In 1834, his son Friedrich did very well, marrying Amalie Macaire d'Augur, the daughter of a wealthy Franco-Swiss cotton manufacturer, and Ferdinand, our count, came along 4 years later. He was born into a world of international nobility, where a title served as passport to the elites in St. Petersburg, Vienna, London, and Paris, or even, in a pinch, Berlin, a backwater. Following the family's martial tradition, Zeppelin entered the Royal Army College at Ludwigsburg in October 1855 and emerged as a lieutenant with one of Württemberg's most swagger regiments, the 8th, based in Stuttgart, the kingdom's capital, in September 1858. During the Franco-Austrian War of 1859, Württemberg was an Austrian ally, He saw no action while serving on the staff of the Quartermaster General as a specialist in topography and logistics. That Zeppelin, a curious mix of the unconventional and the traditional, was even in the Quartermaster General's office rather than serving on the higher status front lines marked him as quirky. Since boyhood, Zeppelin had been fascinated by mechanics, by making machinery work, by practical invention. Before being admitted to the Royal Army College, Zeppelin had attended the prestigious Polytechnic School in Stuttgart. Such institutions were in the vanguard of imparting a technical, scientific, and engineering education to smart middle-class boys and ambitious working-class lads. Rich young nobles like Zeppelin were few and far between. Still stranger, during his time with the Quartermaster General, Zeppelin took temporary leave to enroll at the University of Tübingen to study, though he did not take a degree, mechanical sciences. Again, a field rather déclassé for a man of his pedigree.